Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
Today, we're going to talk about the rhythm of freedom. Everybody shout, freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom. How many of y'all love movies where the guy's like, freedom, right? There's freedom. There's a freedom call. In fact, you know what? Freedom rings. Come on, shout, freedom rings. Freedom rings. And so today at all campuses and online and all around the world, we're talking about freedom. The Bible says, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. And we're going to work on freedom today. In fact, this guy, I actually wanted him to come today, and I love it that he's wearing Faith Church gear, even a Faith Church hat. I bet if he had Faith underwear on, we would have him. But we do. How many of y'all think we need Banner Your Underwear? Come on, somebody. It's like a Banner Your Underwear. Some of you don't care. Do you not wear underwear? What's the deal? Let's try it again. But there's it's kind of amazing how labels will limit you. I was talking to a guy a couple days ago who was telling me all about feeling forgotten. And the pain of feeling forgotten was that he was adopted and he never met his dad and never met his mom. And then was kind of abandoned eventually by the people who adopted him. And he felt forgotten. Just hearing his story, and I love hearing people's story on the street. In fact, this guy's not even saved. He didn't even know who I was. I was just hearing his story on an airplane because, you know, I preach a lot of sermons, so I need to hear a lot of stuff. Come on, somebody help me right now. In fact, you never want to go out to eat with me because I'm going to use your stuff. Mine gets old. Then I was talking to another guy who was an addict, and he had a label on him that he was proud of, the fact that he went through AA, and I'm really proud of him. In fact, let's give it up for AA and all the great people that served it. Man, I get it, but he labeled himself as an alcoholic forever. Like, I'm an alcoholic. So you might be an overspender. You might be a sex addict. It happens. You might be abusing alcohol. But these are labels that the world puts on you, and you put those labels on yourself. And then, of course, oftentimes when people come to church, I hear this. They say, I'm just average. I mean, if I was going to do something great, I would have done it by now. I'm just average. I was an average student. I'm an average weight. I'm an average salary. Everything's average about me. I'm here to tell you, though, that these labels, God wants to peel these labels off of you because you were average if you were looking at yourself in the natural, but I want you to actually put on the 2020 goggles to see what God sees about you, and he says that you're not an alcoholic, that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Come on, give God praise today. And he also says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. The addiction, sure, you're going to probably always be predisposed to do that. But now I just don't want you to wear the label. I want you to wear the label of I'm an overcomer. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. Now, I don't want you going to a bar because you would set yourself up in a bad scenario. So, you know, the Bible says with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. I heard that God makes a way of escape, and opportunity knocks, but sin bangs at the door. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? Not a lot of sinners in St. Louis, Florida. Go with me on this right now. How many of you, sin has ever banged at the door? Boom, boom, boom. Ring, ring. Midnight knocking. Knock, knock, knock. A lot of quiet people, but I know there's a lot of sin in the house, especially over here, St. Louis. Then I talked to people all the time who were abused, abnormally used. Blown away with all the people who were sexually abused as children. Phenomenal. I mean, the stats are staggering. I really didn't know about it till I had a word of knowledge like I did just a moment ago. I was showing you that, and God gave me a word of knowledge about people that would be okay, and I would never want you to come up on stage, I said, unless you were comfortable saying, I want free tonight. And I'm okay to say this. Well, hundreds and hundreds of people rushed the stage that night, and I was just crying because I said, could this be? And then my wife, who was sexually molested as a young girl around 7 years old and then raped at 13, she said, of course it is. Have you never looked up the stats? And I'm like, no, I don't typically Google stuff like that. So she started telling me the stats, and I was blown away with the people who were abused, abnormally used, people that were violated. And as a result of all this abuse now they feel very average and something must be wrong with me. So now they start, you know, feeling forgotten and hurt. And so now they're an addict. They've got to do something to drink the trouble away. In fact, I was riding my motorcycle a couple days ago and I heard a country song. It came on. I love country music. I'm diverse and I like rap music. You put those two together, you get crap. Come on, somebody help me. And the song basically said, I'm taking my heart medication, and I'm two drinks away from my heart forgetting about you. Something like that. Now, wow, this guy is drinking his problems away. In fact, he's so drunk at this point, now I can't remember her. In fact, some guys have gotten married because some girls look so good after they were drunk. But I'll leave that out tomorrow, but then Monday and Tuesday. But now with all this stuff going on, now in the core of your belly, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But now you feel so unworthy because of all this stuff that happened to you. You didn't do that. They did that to you. You thought they were going to live with you forever, and then they did something stupid, and now they're in prison. They did something stupid, and now they died. They did something crazy. It had nothing to do with you. You thought you guys had everything going. And all of a sudden now, all this pain comes. And now these labels are limiting you. Now, at Faith Church, when I started building this church 16 years ago, I know because my daughter is 16, I wanted to build a church where we didn't point the finger at people this way, but we pointed the finger this way, and we said, we're not here to shame you. We're here to put a ring on your finger, a robe on your back. God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you because the Bible says that God's grace is sufficient, and it's made perfect in our weakness, and He can take the pain of your past and the misery and the problems of the past, and He can actually use it as a promising future for you. But you got to have freedom. Everybody shout freedom. Freedom comes, of course, from a couple of scriptures. In Galatians 5:13, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is Freedom Weekend. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, I will walk about in freedom because I have sought His precepts. I will walk about in freedoms because I have sought His precepts. So many times we really don't walk around in freedom because we're bound because of all this stuff that happened to us. In fact, we assume that as soon as we come into church or anywhere, people are going to know, I'm an addict, I've forgotten. And so, and we don't want people to know that about us, but we think they know it about us. In fact, Nicole the other day, she had a stain on her dress. And she didn't know that the stain was on the dress. And I knew if I told her that the stain was on the dress, that it would ruin her whole evening. So it really wasn't a big stain. And it wouldn't have mattered because we were out anyway. So the best thing I could do was just leave the stain alone. I looked at it many times. But then, towards the end of this evening at this beautiful gala we were at, she went, oh, I must have just gotten something on me. And then I made the mistake of telling her, oh, that's been there all night. Oh, y'all know that's not smart. Some of you are like, hey, you know what? You're not as smart as we thought you were. But because she didn't know the stain was there, she didn't feel average. She didn't feel unworthy because she didn't know it was there. So I thought the best thing I could do was let her have fun. She had fun. Nobody hardly knew. I don't think many people saw the stain. But then as soon as she saw the stain, now she kept covering, like, the stain. Like, where's my purse? The stain. The stain. The stain. And really, I want you to disdain the stain and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to say that I'm marked for life. I'm going to go to the party and I'm going to enjoy my life, and God has good plans for me, and it's not based on the stain, because we all had stains of crimson stains. Come on, but Jesus' blood has washed us whiter than snow. We don't get what we deserve, we get what He deserves. Come on, West Palm, give God praise today. Come on, give Him some good praise. Oh, Lord Jesus. You're not average. Look at your neighbor and say, ain't nothing average about you. Ain't nothing average about you. Sometimes because of that, we feel kind of bad. There's a guy in the Bible, his name is Mephibosheth. It's kind of fun to say. Everybody shout it, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was this boy who was the son of a guy named Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of a guy named Saul. Saul was Psycho Saul, the king. And so Saul, they want a king, so they hired Saul. But Saul was really crazy. He was a crazy politician. And next thing you know, God had anointed David to be the king. And so Saul went about trying to kill this guy, David. But he had this boy, Saul did, his name was Jonathan. And Jonathan absolutely loved David. He was always protecting David, helping David. When David was marked, he had a big bullseye on his back by Saul to kill him. But David kept trusting in the Lord. He's the guy who was writing songs on the back of the hill. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. And right, he was singing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's writing all these songs, and he's on the backside of the hill. But God has the ability, trust me right now, to take you from the background and bring you to the foreground. He has the ability to take you out of the basement office and take you all the way to the top of the penthouse, and you could actually own the company that you're working for right now. Somebody ought to shout amen if you believe in the banner year. Jubilee. Everybody shout, it's my Jubilee. So now, years and years have passed, and Saul's gone, dead, and David's sitting around his office one day, and he says, I wonder if there's anyone alive still from Jonathan's house that I can show favor to. I want to go bless somebody. So we pick this account up. It says, now David said, is there still anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now I want to pause there and say, for Jonathan's sake. And all campuses, shout it with me. For whose sake? For Jonathan. Do you know sometimes you'll get blessed because of somebody else's blessing? You'll get blessed because of the faithfulness of someone else. I'm standing today on the shoulders of my father who went on to heaven before me, and he only had a couple hundred people, but they were a good couple hundred people, and they were a faithful couple hundred people, and they had a little building over in Fenton, and I got to stand upon his shoulders. And then there was a great man of God who's still alive, Rick Shelton, who gave his life to build this 37-acre campus, and his kids, some of them went the wrong way, and some of them did okay, but they weren't able to sustain this. And so Rick called me and allowed me to be a son of his. And of course, I paid him millions of dollars for the building, but I thank him for the opportunity to do where I'm standing today. I'm just here to tell you that sometimes God will bless you. Somebody ought to give God praise today because of somebody else. And what you can stand on is if you do what's right because of it right, you'll get what's right, and your kids will get what's right. Sometimes you don't get the harvest necessarily, but your kids will get it. Come on, Florida, say amen to this right now. For his sake. And in verse 2 it says, and there was a servant in the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him, David called him and said, are you Ziba? And he said, at your service. I love that too, because this guy was a cool dude. Because sometimes, you know, this guy had a good answer. Sometimes he calls, are you Ziba? I can see a guy going, it depends. Who you with? You coming to repossess my car? That's a whole nother story. He says, at your service. Also notice that he said, at your service. There's a attitude about this guy. Not, I'm prideful. I did it my way. I think that we need to bring honor back. Honor back to the church. Honor back to society. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Open the door. No, you go ahead and go first. Come on, Florida. I hope you're clapping. I can hear you almost. We need honor. He says, yes, sir. At your service. There needs to be, and I want to pause the sermon and say, there needs to be a rhythm that you can count on. We can count on that. Steady. Some people aren't steady. Oh, the Blues game's on tonight. I'm not coming. Oh, the Cardinals are playing. I'm not coming. The Marlins are playing. No. When you get in the rhythm of heaven, you realize that the cadence of heaven is different than the cadence of earth. And if you want God to come find you and bring favor to you in the Jubilee, where all debts are canceled, all property goes back to its original owners, and all prisoners go free, then you can't say, my priority is the Blues game. So here's how it works. If the Blues are playing, you ain't going if church is going, because as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. Come on, somebody give God praise. Because you won't call the Blues players. When you're sick, you're going to call the church. Now, when you have your stroke, you won't call them. They won't call you back, by the way. In fact, they won't even take a picture with you if you see them out. Because they ain't politicians. They get paid to play, not to be nice. Get quiet up in here because I know them. I eat with these guys. They're at my house. A lot of these sports players. I'm just here to tell you, they're not preachers. And I'm fine with sports as long as it has its place. But it is not in the place of God. I'm telling you the truth and you don't like it. But I'm telling you that God said, I will have no other gods before me. If you want all of God, if you want the power of God, if you want the presence of God, if you want God, the only way you get God is give him your whole heart. I'm going to give you one more chance to give a good clap to an almighty God who died on the cross for you, who went to hell for you, who came back and resurrected himself for you, who delivers you and ripped all these tags off of you. And that's why our priority shall never be football. I love football, great, but as long as it takes its spot, it's fine. But it will never take the spot of Jesus. Come on, give it praise, West Palm. God said it. And I love it. There'll be sports players here tomorrow. And when they come, leave them alone. Don't bug them. But they need Jesus. And you need Jesus. He said this. He said, at your service. Then the king said, is there not still someone in the house of Saul who I may show kindness to? And Ziba, the king said, there still is a son, Jonathan, who's lame in his feet. Everybody shout that. Lame in his feet. So notice Jonathan now is gone, but his son is still alive and he's lame in his feet. He's paralyzed. He's crippled. He's been crippled since birth. If you study it out, there was a war that came and somebody grabbed him as a young child. And when they were attacking the city that they were in, they dropped Mephibosheth. And when they dropped it, he has a spinal injury now that paralyzed him from the waist down. In his whole life, they've tried to just try to take care of him. And the government didn't take care of him. The system didn't. There was a few kind of people that did. And he did what he could do. If you've been to third world countries, people that have no legs, they're still out panhandling, trying to make money because it's a bad, hard system. And so he's lame. Everybody shout, he's lame. Now, while he's lame here, God's thinking about him. And the king says, where is he? Where is he? And he said, indeed, he is in the house of Machir. Notice this, and I want to pause here and say, when God says, where are you? Catch this, West Palm. A lot of people don't know where you're at. Where are you? Remember the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve are in the garden. Everything is great. They have no bills, no kids, no taxes. Come on, this is incredible. They're both butt naked in the garden with nothing to do. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And God's word to them was, be fruitful and multiply. This is a good life, y'all. Come on, Florida, help me out here. This is it. Yeah, they had to screw it up. Don't you wish we could go back there? Joel Osteen, in fact, I was with Joel this week, and his daddy used to say, he said, where would we be without women? And he used to always say, the Garden of Eden. But that's not true. I didn't say that. Joel's daddy said that. In fact, Joel would never say that, right? He would say, I'd like to get started with something funny. He wouldn't do that one. Now, the world's in trouble, but God says, hey, where are you? Notice that Mephibosheth, they had an idea where he was. Let me tell you, this will change your whole life. People need to know where you're at, where you stand on this relationship. Where are you with God? What church do you go to? I meet people all the time in a church his size, as you can imagine. They go, I'll go to your church. I think, well, they might. There's a lot of church, a lot of services, multi-site, multi-campus, multi-everything. It's very possible that I don't know you. But if I really, 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 if you were there all the time, I'd know who you are. Because you'd be serving. You'd went to Growth Track. I would have seen your picture. I would see you in the hallway. I would see you if you came all the time. I'm just trying to let you know there's a difference between being a Christian and being sold out. I want God. I want the power of God. I want God. I want the presence of God. I want God. I want the power of God. I want God. Some people are like, I want Easter. And I want Christmas. Good Friday, not so much. That would kind of take too much of my weekend. But I say, if a church, Good Friday is the time that we, the church, celebrate. That's when Jesus died. We take the Holy Communion and we worship God. And then on Sunday, that's when the people that don't go to church, we convince them to come to church, because if you love people, friends don't let friends go to hell. We got to get our passion back for the addict. We got to get our passion back. Come on, somebody help me right now. For the unworthy, for the forgotten, for the hopeless, for the addict. We are not here just to live in a big house. We're here to serve Jesus. We're here to reach the world. We're here to go and do what God called us to do. That's why I flew to Texas this week, flew back, flew to Florida, flew to St. Louis, flying all over, because I've got a job to do. This isn't just playing around for me. If we're playing around, I'd quit playing. If we're playing church, I quit. I don't want to play church. I want a sold out, radical, fanatical people who say, this is my banner year. We're going to possess new territories. I'm not stopping till every prisoner goes free. Come on, somebody. Till all burdens are removed and all yokes are released. When I look at Deborah over here, I saw Deborah. I was in Daystar 2 weeks ago, probably. Look out in the crowd, and I thought, I know that lady. Why do I know that lady? She's waving. And then I went up, she says, I'm Deborah. I'm the lady that couldn't walk at the miracle rally, and God took my walker. And tonight I look over there, and there's Deborah. Come on, I know where Deborah's at. Deborah got healed. Deborah came to church. Somebody ought to give God praise there. Walking around. In fact, I saw Deborah in Dallas. I like that, Deborah in Dallas. When I saw Deborah in Dallas, she was with her friend, and her friend had her walker. She said, well, when God healed me, she needed it because, you know, she just needs a walker, so I gave it to her. So her walker's being used. She put it to good use, but she said, I don't need it anymore. It's my banner year. Come on, somebody. I'm in the rhythm of heaven. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. I'll never be broke another day in my life. I'll never be sick because the Bible says he satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. The Bible said, Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes we are healed. Not going to get it. We are healed. The Bible's full of stuff and promises, and that's why you got to go to church to get the proper outlook. Where are you? Look at your neighbor and say, where are you? Look back at him and say, I'm in faith church. What do you mean? Well, you need some medicine. Where are you? Now, where are you? And then all of a sudden now, verse 5 says, then that David sent and brought him out. Brought him out. I want you to shout it. Come on, shout it. Brought him out. Brought him out. One more time. Come on, Florida. Brought him out. Notice that God sends after the lame guy that can't walk, can't pay the bills, in a rented shack with a bunch of other people, and all of a sudden now favor comes and finds him and brings him out. Somebody ought to shout, I'm coming out. They brought him out of the house. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face, prostrated himself before him. And David said, are you Mephibosheth? He'd never seen him. And he answered, here is your servant. Notice he's got a humble heart again. And then David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show kind to you. For Jonathan's sake. I love this next line. I've never seen it till the Lord told me today. Remember, the word is all property goes back to its original owner. It says, hey, do not fear, for surely I will show kindness to you, and I will restore to you all the land. All the property is going back to the original owner right here. I know you've been living in this little shanty, and you've been a beggar that these people are trying to take care of. But do you know that your grandfather owned thousands of acres? Somebody ought to shout amen. Loads of leased farmland. This is the time the land is going back to its original owner. I prophesy, Florida, this year we will have our building off of the highway with our own palm trees to have revival. Come on, give it praise. Give it praise. Give it praise. Come on, West Palm. Going back to its original owner. That's mine. That's my daddy's land. You need to take the long way home and drive past the house that you want. Look at those other people and go, I'm about to evict them. That's my dad's land. Now, some of you don't believe it. You just haven't been to church long enough. If you hang around long enough, you'll get your land back. You get your mind back. You get your marriage back. You get your money back. You get your dog back. It'll be like playing a country music song backwards. All your stuff you lost is going to come back into your life. Brought him out. Gives him his land back, says, do not fear, for I will restore to you the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Notice he says, now, I know you're going to make all kinds of money on leasing the land, and I know you're going to make all kinds of money on owning the land, but the favor that's on your life, you're actually going to eat at my table continually. In other words, all of your money problems and food problems are over too, because you're going to eat at the king's table. Yeah. King's table. You're going to eat at the palace. You'll eat bread continually. And then he bound himself. I love this part. And he says, what is your servant that you should look on such a dead dog? Let's talk about being a dead dog for a minute. God gets ready to bless Mephibosheth. He gets all his land back, but he's never been around wealth, so he doesn't know how to respond to wealth. If you haven't been around money, you don't know how to respond to money. If you've never been around money, you don't know how to invest money. That's why so many people win the lottery and 3 years later they're broke, because they had money but they didn't know what to do with the money. And if you don't know what to do with the money, then the money goes away. The Bible in Proverbs says money has wings and it flies away. So you need to know how to invest your life, how to invest your money. But he has this bad complex because he thought he was unworthy. He thought, man, I'm absolutely average, man, and even below average, because I'm actually physically impaired. And so I've never been able to walk. People have to carry me around. I've been laid out here in this town called Lodibar. How many of y'all know that sounds like Lonely Bar? And I feel forgotten. I'm here to tell you, though, that the seeds of greatness in your past, and you might be saying, my family never did anything great. Well, your family tree forked 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross for you, and now you get everything. Oh, somebody ought to help me. You get everything that your elder brother died for. In other words, remember the woman who got healed at a table because there was a crumb that fell? And she said, I'm unworthy, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table, and that woman got healed on a crumb. I'm here to tell you that God has pulled up a chair for you, West Palm, and he has seated you with him in heavenly places, and this is the jubilee. If you'll grab it and say, pass me the mashed potatoes, I think I have more of that corn. I think I want some of that. Somebody ought to shout amen right now. There is a rhythm of freedom that you need to grab a hold of and tell the devil, this is the last year that I'm down for the count. This is the last day that I'm going to feel sorry for myself. I'm not unworthy. I'm not forgotten. I'm not average. I'm blessed. I'm favored. I'm anointed. I'm more than a conqueror through him that gave himself. I'll give you 10 seconds to praise him. Come on, Florida. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Raise your hand if you're glad you didn't miss church this weekend. He said, I'm a dead dog. Why would you look on a dog? Then the king called Zibi, and the servant said to him, I've given to your master the son all that belonged to Saul and to all his household. Everything that belonged to his king father is now given to him in a moment's time. Let's think about it. Why is that? One reason I really believe is that they knew where he was at. The Bible says the faithful person shall abound in blessing. Jesus said, when I come back, I want you to be found faithful. I hope to God when the Lord comes back and splits that eastern sky and those long, lanky Galilean legs come over the top of that white stallion and that sword is coming out of his mouth and that blood is dripping off of his chest and CNN captures it and Fox News catches it. I hope we're in church. I hope you're not drinking beer at a blues game. I want to be preaching right here saying, I want God. I want the presence of God. I want God. I want the power of God. I want God. Preaching better than you're looking. Mess up my nails. I just got my weave done. Weave it alone. Let's just enjoy Jesus. Have some fun. You're about to get your life back. You're about to get your harvest. Everything, it says, everything that belonged to Saul and the household. He said, you therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land. In other words, you're going to be a farmer. And you will bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, will eat bread at our table forever. In other words, God says, my table that I've prepared for you is going to be full of blessing, full of breakthrough, full of power, full of demonstration. In other words, all this land that you got, that's going to be surplus, but you ain't going to need it. It's like my kids when they go out to eat with me. They got money, they make money, but they know if they're with me, they ain't even going to try to get the check. Come on, tell me right now if you got kids, you know what I'm talking about. Tell me like, I want kids that will really fulfill me. No, you're going to stay up all night long. You're going to be listening to Lionel Richie all night long, all night, all night. They're going to cry. Then they're going to be teenagers. And then all that morning sickness that you had and the puking that you had, they're going to look back at you and go, you don't really love me, because if you love me, you would let me go to the mall with my friends. Come on, am I telling the truth or what? I'm just bringing balance to people like, oh, it's my banner year. I really want to get my husband. You might want to enjoy your time off. I really want my kids. Enjoy it while you don't have them. And then they get real friendly because they need their student loans paid for. Can I get an amen up in this house? And I love them, but I'm just here to tell you that God says that he is your father, and when you go out to eat with him, don't worry about the money. Don't worry about, will I get the loan? Don't worry about, what am I going to do? The Bible said that he's going to take care of you like he takes care of the grass of the field, like he takes care of the birds of the air. You never see any birds going around going, we'll work for food. I mean, you've never seen a bird at a red light going, I'm homeless and I need food. Come on, raise your hand. You ain't never seen that. No, you have not. The birds just walking, flying around, chirping. How great is our God? Fly over to Chick-fil-A and a trash can. Sing with me, how great. Come on, somebody. They'd be running over to barbecue places. Is our God. You look around, all of a sudden you're at Panera. You got your roll. You look now and the seagull has taken the roll, flying away. He's singing, I'll fly away, oh glory, I believe I can fly. I believe you can't touch the sky. I took your cherry pie with me, right? They're not worried because they know God's going to take care of them. I'm here to tell you today, as we're closing up this sermon, that the rhythm of freedom is you will eat from the table of the Lord, and you're not average, you're not unworthy, you're not forgotten, you are loved, you are favored. Come on, somebody. Give God praise today. You're loved. You have a purpose. You're qualified. Well, I don't think I'm qualified. You are if God said you're qualified. You're known. I'm not known. We haven't been to Growth Track. This is your weekend to go up there. Be known and needed. Delivered. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never, okay? So no matter what it looks like, you go, it looks like I'm getting evicted. Oh, even when I can't see it, you're working. They came to take your car. They're towing it away. You never stop. Even when I can't see it, you're working. I know what it's like to be broke. I know what it's like to be robbed. We were poor. I've been robbed as a kid. Sometimes I still get scared. I'm like, Nicole, go for us. Hurry. It reminds me of things that have happened to me in the past. I know what it's like to have a car that you got to start on the hill because you got to pop the clutch. I know what it's like to have no key to the car but a screwdriver. Come on, somebody help me right now. A screwdriver. Come on, Florida, if you know what I'm talking about, put a screwdriver in and start it. I know what it's like to not be able to get in on this side because it's wrecked and you have to slide in on this side. I know what it's like to tell your friend, yes, I will let you use my car, but the only way you start it is, see, it's complicated, you got to turn the heat off. And then you got to push the clutch in all the way, but it's actually also, you got to make sure you're hitting the brake, but that brake doesn't work, you got to use the emergency brake. But those days are gone for me. Why? Because God has blessed me because I realize I'm not forgotten. I'm not average. I am uneducated in the natural, but I've educated myself in the Word. And I would rather have the education of the Word than the world because I see a lot of people highly educated with student loans and they still broke as a joke. And I've seen other people that can't say jacuzzi, but they got one. I got a koozie, Pastor. I got my own koozie. God bless my tie wall business and I got my own Bobcat. And all debt-free, Pastor. It's debt. I didn't have a loan, but I didn't need a loan because I've been to the throne, Pastor David. I'm here to tell you that God can do for you what no man can do for you. This is your jubilee. All debts are canceled. Somebody ought to shout amen. All property's going back to its original owner. And every prisoner will be released. Give it praise. Oh, hallelujah. He's done a big miracle. I've been wanting to do that all night. I believe God's going to have to do a quick work on his arm. Sorry about that, buddy. I know they can fix him. That's what happens when you fall out in the flesh. He shouldn't have went with that. You got to make sure it's his spirit. How many of y'all had fun this weekend? You love it? Come on, stand up, you here in West Palm.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.